Maddie.
Hello, Mr. Veach.
How are you? Welcome into the show, mate. Welcome into the show.
Oh, welcome, mate.
Sorry.
Before you start, mate, I did like your chat about Bermuda. I think it's a tax haven more than anything else. Hence, sports people live down there and live the good life.
I remember one of our old hosts, Maddie, on this program, Willie Lose, lovely fella. He kept asking a tennis player who was over here for the ASB Classic, which is our sort of summer tournament, heading into the Australian Open. And I think she was from Croatia. And he kept saying, so why do you live in Monaco? Oh, well, you know, it's a nice place to live. And eventually... it's because I pay my $1 million reserve and then I don't don't pay tax. I mean, that would be what you would have done in your career, Matt, because what were you on back in the day? Tell me, be honest with me, Matt. When 99, what were you on?
Yeah.
Half a million?
$3.3 million, mate. That's right. And I used to get the private jet across so I could still take my residency in Monaco. Exactly right.
So why is that the case then? If you were on $3.3 million, why could you not afford a decent pair of shorts?
They were always very high, I must admit. I look back at my career and I had some high shorts. That's all right, though. That's okay. I did okay.
Hey, listen, I've got some great news, as I said in the intro. I've got some great news. We've got Jack Quigley, who has now become famous in Australia for that rant that we saw. And, mate, did you know this? So you don't know this. You don't know this. You may know this. I don't know whether you know this or not. Jack Quigley, do you know who his favourite player in the world is, Matt Burke?
No, tell me, please.
You.
Is that right?
Mate, honestly, he says grew up and you were his hero. Seriously?
I think he went to my school. He was a couple of years behind me at my school.
Oh, you're Joey's, yeah?
Correct. Yeah. I think I was about maybe 10 years his senior. But I tell you what, if he's hanging on to me for my best player, I think that's where Australian rugby is struggling at the moment. They need to find someone else to look up to at the moment, I think.
Oh, come on, mate. You're back. You guys against Italy last night. You're back, big fella.
Wasn't it great? It's all about, as my wife says, it's all rigged. It's just, you know, bring the fans in 28-27 and then just blow them away at the last little minute to make it respectable, 40-27. I'll tell you what, we were sitting there last night, and after that start, and my biggest gripe at the moment is that their game plan is predictable. Now, I don't know whether they're trying to lull people into a false sense of security, but the game plan is throw the ball around. And they did it against Scotland off the kickoff, and they failed. They did it against Italy in that first play. They failed. And all of a sudden, you're thinking to yourself, there's got to be a different way to play. You've got to play smart. You've got to play strategic. And sadly, that element of the game is just not there at the moment. You know, understanding pressure by kicking, understanding working your way around the park. And we keep calling this... simple game plan. They want to play this running game, but I just don't think they're up to it yet.
Yeah, I just wonder, Maddie, and it goes back to the comments of John O'Neill. Remember 4 or 5 years ago, he put the edict out there for the Super Rugby franchises and for the Australian team to play running rugby because the public was switching off. Do you think there's an element to that at the moment, that rugby's in trouble, therefore the Wallabies need to play this glorious brand of rugby to bring in the fans again?
Yeah, but, you know, when you talk about playing running rugby and I struggle... with the concept of entertaining as rugby, so to speak, like, you know, as in, like, inverted commas. The entertainment comes from good skill work, you know, fast-paced game, understanding of how to manage yourself around the park. It doesn't mean just throw it around Harlem Globetrotter style. I don't think that's entertainment, because what that ends up to be is frustration. And I think, well, what did Checker say last night? It's killing me or something, you know, watching this, you know, putting some play together and then falling at the end there. So I think there's a discrepancy between entertainment and actual skill level. So once you get that skill level, and that game that, you know, you boys played last night, that's what you're getting to. They're two teams playing super fast football, going end to end, scoring tries. That's entertainment.
See, here's the thing, Matt. At that game last night, it didn't feel like... So with 4 minutes ago, we were up by 22. It didn't feel like that, Matt, yet. And I'm sitting down there with the Lions fans and I'm sitting back watching their faces thinking we're losing by 22 points here. But what the All Blacks do and what they've done for so long now, they just take their opportunities. Now, the Lions had opportunities first minute of the game. They scored that sensational try as well, Matty, here. But here we are sitting back saying, okay, on a Sunday afternoon, they still lost by 15 and the All Blacks will probably get better next weekend.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that's how you rate teams around the world. It's about taking the opportunities. I mean, everyone can construct a play or try and construct a play up a line out, but it's that broken play and then someone just sees half a gap and that half a gap turns into a try. And you know, the pickup from the hooker last night.
Cody Taylor was amazing. Cody Taylor.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Yeah.
So, off his toes. I mean, that should get knocked on, you know, 9 times out of 10. But that half a chance means, you know, they get across the line. It turns into 7 points with Barrett kicking the goal. So all of a sudden, what should not have been, perhaps, turns into a 7-pointer. And that's when you take your opportunities. And that is that's a skill level I'm talking about, Tony. That's that ability to understand how to play the game and play it well.
See, Matt, my concern is this, and I know this may sound ridiculous from an All Blacks supporter, and I said last night I kind of felt a wee bit sorry for the Lions fans, is that, you know, This is one of the best teams, as Graham Henry said to me yesterday, we're ever going to face. You know, I had a caller on a couple of hours ago, Mark, saying to me, why don't we rotate a bit next weekend and play around with some positions? I'm thinking, well, we haven't won the series yet. But that's how dominant we've got at the moment, Matt. And that's just a fact of life. I mean, Steve Hansen at the moment is about 95-96%, which is ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, I we were having a chat about it the other day at work, and I think I was 48% against the All Blacks, which is like top shelf.
That's
win
good
loss.
Stuff.
Then we laughed at Richie McCaw when he got his 100. He was about 93 wins or 95 wins or something, which is just phenomenal. But you know, I take you back 5 years when you guys did a grand slam. And you guys were literally an A team, a B team, and a C team, and still winning the Grand Slam and still winning, you know, winning well. And that's the depth, and that's the ability that good teams have. That when you can rotate a player around, and straight away they fit into that mold, they fit into understanding the game plans, they fit into the ethos of the team. Iwani last night scoring 2 tries. I mean, that's. You know, I look back at my time when I first played a test match, and I was just happy to sort of, I think I was like a spectator. I was the best spectator on the field in amongst sort of Campese, Liner, Hoare and Little. But these days, now guys make an impact straight away. And, you know, that second try of his, there sort of wasn't much going on. And he just showed great speed, a little bit of a shimmy, and then down that left touch and scores the try. So that's what you want from guys to come through. But you're right, though. You know, they'll go back, as in the Lions will go back to the drawing board and try and, you know, shift around a few positions. There's a few guys out of position last night as well. But, yeah, they go on to next weekend with, well, I suppose they're hoping to try and keep the series alive. And you're right, the All Blacks, they can crush it and go 2-0 and then potentially 3.
Look, I know Steve Hansen's probably not the most popular person in Australia, Matty, but I've got to say, as a coach at the moment, and I've got Foxy on the program in about 10-15 minutes' time, who is co-selector at the moment. Look, when Rico was selected, and I put this to Tana Umanga last night, so I emceed with Tana, as you've done with me in the past before when the Wallabies have been over, and I said to Tana, honestly, as Blues coach, did you expect them to go Rico ahead of Naholo and Julian Savier? Yep. And Tana said no, didn't expect it to happen. But here they go, they picked this guy at 20, in a firebrand game, which has got probably 35,000 thereabouts Lions fans there going absolutely nuts, and he handles the occasion and scores 2 brilliant tries.
Yeah. And do you know what? I reckon they would have had a big long look at it. That first Blues game when he scored that try, and I think he had Lee Halfpenny in front of him. And now there's no doubt respect. Respect on the field is going as hard as you can and not caring who's in front of you. And you know, Lee Halfpenny, Six Nations winner, Lions winner against Australia, you know, countless point scorer. But you've got this young pup who just goes, I'm absolutely going to school you and run around you, over you and through you. But when after the game, I'm sure it would have been a shake of the hand and very respectful. And that's what you get. And I think that was a massive moment for Rico in that regard to say, hey, I can be at this level and I can contribute. And you're right. You only need a half a chance and you take it. And you know, sometimes that's all you need in your career. And certainly, understanding from the sevens capacity, he was a genius in that regard, but now he's changing the field to the 15th man side.
Yeah, it was a great interview we had with Graham Henry yesterday, because 2 years ago, Matty, I took Graham down as our guest speaker to the Wellington Sevens, and what we did, we put a couple of trestle tables down on the field, so we rotated our corporate audience onto the tables for each game, and it just happened to be that Graham was on one of the trestle tables for Rico's performance for the New Zealand Sevens sides 2 years ago.
Yep.
And he came up on stage and we were having a chat. I said, Graham, what did you make of that? And he goes, I've just seen our next All Black. That was 2 years ago.
Yeah. And it's It can be seen early, you know, and there's a process where you build and you get understanding of the game and or should I say a deeper understanding of the game and what to do. But there's nothing just like raw talent. There's nothing like speed. There's nothing like size. And you know, I look at you know, the likes of, you know, going back to history now, the guys like Shane Williams who were smaller on the field, electric, but I think that player is just about now gone. Nothing beats genuine speed. Combine that with, what is he, 6'3", maybe, and you'd be 100 and some kilos, and that becomes a formidable opponent when you're, you know, chugging down the right or the left-hand wing. It just makes it, for a fullback to see that, you go, yep, I've got a chance here. No, I don't.
No. Hey, yeah. I've got to tell you about one of the coolest stories, and I'm sorry for people who may be getting bored with this, but it's going nuts on my page at the moment. I've got to tell you this story, Matty. I found out about a Lions supporter who was on his lonesome at the Ponsonby Rugby Club. The gates had been locked, and he got a point of contact, and he called up a lady called Sandra and said, hey, it's Alex here, and not sure what to do, and she came down and picked him up, and she took him home, right? Nice story.
Yep.
Said, do you want to stay? Don't stay in the camper van. Do you want to stay with us? This is what played out. Have a listen.
I took him home, just said, and introduced him and said, hey, this is my husband, Ed, and the boys were out at the time, and about 10 minutes later, he come in, the boys come home, and I said, this is my son's, and he didn't click, and then he was sitting there for about, we were having a cup of tea, and then he said, those boys, he said, I've seen them before. I said, no, mate.
Maddie, that is the mother of Rico and Akira Iwani.
How good.
Oh, honestly.
That is fantastic.
Honestly, she said, there's the fridge, there's the toilet, there's the mattress, and here's the other thing about it as well. Have a listen to this as well. This is two men. One of them's in the All Black, and Akira's still with the All Black team, by the way, as one of the reserves. Have a listen to this.
They've had to sleep in the same room together for bringing 19 years or whatever it is.
Are they still in the same room?
Yep.
You're kidding me.
Nah.
So what are we talking, two single beds?
No. Oh, no, two bloody king beds, but, you know.
Here's a story for you, Maddie. One of our All Black wingers went home last night. Good night, Akira. Good night, Rico.
Yeah, that's right. In the Welsh accent. But, you know, how good, I heard you at your opener there, mate. How good are the Lions supporters? I remember 01 out here and then 12 out here, or 13 out here, I should say. Just fantastic. They bring a, you're right, they bring their euro down here, or pounds, whatever you want to call it. And they enjoy it. They enjoy the rugby. They understand good rugby and are appreciative of the fact that good rugby is being played. They rip in beforehand. They rip in afterwards. And it's a really good environment. It's great to be around. And when you finish the game, you know, you're becoming mates because, you know, it is rugby. It is a brilliant time.
Yeah, it's been great fun. Before I let you go, Maddie Book with us out of Australia. Maddie, explain this to me. So Scotland beat you blokes, and then last night Fiji beat Scotland. What is happening with the world of rugby? Explain that to me.
It is bizarre. I saw that. I saw that when I landed last night. I saw the result, and you know, I'm scratching my head at the moment as to where our boys sit in the big scheme of things. I think we're fourth, maybe fifth. I think Scotland, Scotland's fifth, I think it is. We're fourth. And, you know, what's the level of world rugby at the moment? Obviously, England sit at two, but there's, you know, they're still miles apart from New Zealand. So is it a case of trying to be sort of third best in the world at the moment, knowing that 12 months ago we got dished 3-0 by England? So I think maybe there's a recalibration at the moment because it looks like these teams are getting better. They're getting better skills. Even Italy last night, difficult that they play in the Six Nations because that's their, you know, they're playing teams obviously, you know, well above them. But they weren't a bad outfit. Their scrum was outstanding last night. That Campagnaro was outstanding. He was bustling people left, right, and centre. Scores a 40-metre try. And, you know, there can be no complacency these days when you're playing these sort of lesser teams. It is full on. I wouldn't have liked to have been out there yesterday. I would have been heart and mouth stuff, that's for sure.
You're still my favourite Wallaby, Matty. I still remember, you won't remember this. I've even told you the story of the time I interviewed you when I was working for TVNZ. And I think it was years ago. I worked for Channel 9 and for TVNZ, and it was 1995 and 1996. And I remember being quite nervous meeting you. True story.
Okay, fantastic. Now it's just gone all downhill, hasn't it?
Now look at me, I just bag you out constantly, don't I?
That's exactly right. But there's a rating spike every time I come on the show, though, for each year.